You hear me all right?
Ladies and gentlemen, front, left, right, back again. Uh-huh. Who is it?
That's crazy, dude. That's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot. And if my computer just starts smoking, I'm not going to be surprised. All right, here we are with the Subway Domer signing day extraordinaire. It is Wednesday, February 4th, 2015. I'm with your emperor, the warlord himself, the Subway Domer. What's going on, Josh?
Not much, man, except for signing day. All big news and non-news coming through in the morning, so... And I just see a tweet right here from Tom Morrison expecting some big news in the next 45 minutes. So that's pretty much the time that we have carved out for our podcast. This ought to be interesting.
This ought to be interesting. So just to recap here, we are on the heels of the Brady Hoke news, non-news. So Hoke has now texted somebody, a Michigan insider, twice that not happening, not going to ND. Can we get biblical? I mean, will he deny us three times before the cock crows?
He might, but he'd probably eat that chicken first.
I know. So, all right. So, you know, we'll put the Hoke stuff aside for now.
Yeah, something I'd rather forget about today, although it was fun while it lasted.
Bizarre, kind of, you know, I mean,
it's a typical Notre Dame National Signing Day, you know. I mean, there's going to be some strange news. If this is the strangest news for the day for us, that'd be great.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you know, and hey, if you want to troll, I mean, today's the do it. Today's the day to do it, so.
It's better than April 1st.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so... most people, I guess everybody that has been committed, you can't send your letter of intent in until 7 o'clock local time.
I think we're just waiting on the West Coast guys right now, like Alizé Jones, Nico Petita, CJ Sanders. I'm pretty sure most everybody else has got their LOIs in. No surprises thus far.
Yeah. And
no wait or no, like, it was supposed to be in, you know. At 7 o'clock, nobody can find him at school, and it's 10 o'clock. You know what I mean? None of that stuff's going on today.
Yeah, yeah. So we're 10:15 here Eastern. Would be about 7:15 out there on the West Coast. So we assume some of these West Coast guys are going to trickle in. Otherwise, everybody that was committed has sent in their letter of intent. There's a couple of guys floating around still. Would be like a Dexter Williams, I guess. Equiminius St. Brown is not an official commit. Got a couple of safeties out there. I mean, who do you of those guys?
I think St. Brown's announcing around 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
So I would say that's about as big of a non-committed lock that Notre Dame's had in a long time. And then I can remember a National Signing Day where we had a non-committed lock as locked in as this guy. So
yeah, I mean, everybody seems to agree that that's pretty much a given. What do you think on running back? I mean, what do you think about Dexter Williams? I mean, is he going to drop? Do you think we need him?
Well, first of all, I like Dexter Williams a lot. I like his game. But at the same time, and as far as running back and safety recruiting goes for this year, I know it hit under the mark. Safety recruiting is probably going to be definitely under the mark. Running back recruiting would probably hit it with Dexter Williams. But at the same time, I think Notre Dame is still fine, whether they get Williams or not. I don't know why it's not talked about more. But I mean, you have two top-flight running backs. I mean, you can't hand the ball off to everybody. And we kind of saw that with Cam and Torian and Bryant this year. You know, three running backs is a crowd. You know, two, you can you know, you can work in and they can get a rhythm throughout the game. You start adding a third one in, and to me, it gets a little dicey. So really, we're not looking at 2015 as a huge need, you know, injuries aside. But even so, if Amir Carlisle comes back for a fifth year, you solve your issue right there. I mean, you know, I'm not saying Amir Carlisle should be a starting running back or should be in the two-man rotation, but he can definitely come in and still has a third running back role. And he's already a proven pass catcher, so even as a third down back, if you want to use the old, you know, NFL-style third down back, Carlisle's a perfect fit for it. So as far as 2015 is concerned, I'm not worried at all. And you know as well as I do that they can go out and get two five-star or two top elite running backs in the next cycle that can come in as freshmen and play right away. And the running backs, one of those positions where they can really come in right away if you give them a carry and can you know play some real meaningful minutes for you. So I'm really not worried about the running back situation at all.
Well, and what I was going to say, I mean, do you almost think it's easier to recruit a higher-rated guy next year if you don't sign a whole bunch, you know, two guys this year? I mean, it almost seems to me like you can go out and get that five-star running back easier next year when you can say, hey, you know, Folston's probably going to the NFL, or he's, you know, he's got 1 year left. Bryant's a year behind him because of his red shirt. You know, we got Josh Adams, but it almost seems like there's more room.
I mean, I really believe a lot of these, you know, these elite kids, the ones that you want to get, I don't think they give a shit about, you know, competition at all. I mean, and that's the kind of kid I think you want and you go after. I mean, because they truly believe they're going to come in and compete. Whether that's going to be the case or not is totally different. But I think most of them anymore, and this is just running back. I mean, we're talking quarterback, I would say definitely yes. You know, it really matters what you do in their quarterback recruiting cycle about what you can get the next year. But as far as running back goes, I don't think it's a huge issue. I think it becomes a bigger priority for the staff, so it might seem that way because they're going to be done and hard, you know, after if they don't get Dexter Williams, they're going to be all hands on deck going after these elite running backs next year bigger than anything. And next year, they still might. You know, but do they just get one next year, or do they get two? That makes that's the difference right there. So, I mean, you're asking if it's kind of like not a blessing in disguise, but if it's going to make things better for or easier for next year's recruiting cycle, you know, it may, but at the same time, I just think these guys are so competitive, they really don't care.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world. People freak out a lot. Just to update here, in the time we've been talking, C.J. Sanders.
But I mean, even real quick, just to add to that, even like with safety recruiting, I mean, sometimes it doesn't work like that. Notre Dame is really low on safety numbers, like real safety numbers, and they still couldn't, and they still probably won't sign, quote-unquote elite safety in this class. You know, they've got McKelsey Williams from, you know, Warren Central. I know that program fairly well.
Yeah, I think he could be a baller.
I think he's a player.
I agree.
I would say Nick Coleman, who actually from Ohio, who actually can to play some safety, too. I've been saying he's probably the biggest sleeper in the class. But McKelsey might be that just as well, because I think he's getting overlooked because he's not rated as high as Reed or
that's the thing, and you just don't know. I mean, I've seen there's so many negative people on Twitter. It's like Notre Dame's whiffed at safety. Notre Dame's really struck out. It's like, listen, man, I'm from Fort Wayne, all right? I know Fort Wayne talent pretty well. I know, you know, like Tyler Eifert, he was a three-star. Nobody was talking about him. He was like a guy that just happened to go there after John Goodman went to Notre Dame. You know, oh, he's just another kid from the same school. Trust me, nobody was talking about Eifert like he was going to be a first-round NFL draft pick, legitimate threat. No, just nobody was saying it. And you take a three-star guy like him who had a back injury, you know, and by the time he's a junior, he's rocking it out.
You know,
so who's
called Warren Central kid?
Yeah,
Warren Central is a top program in the state of Indiana. I mean,
well, it could be anybody. I mean, people
over the last decade and a half, they have turned out some really good talent that have all gone elsewhere. I mean, Sheldon Day is like the only Warren Central kid that has stayed that has gone to Notre Dame, which for all the talent they've had, that's kind of amazing. Notre Dame couldn't get into that school at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, And that's what I kind of look for, you know, what kind of school, what kind of competition are these guys facing? I know everyone makes not jokes, but no one really gives Indiana any kind of respect. But honestly, the top tier schools in Indiana are really, really good. And he's in that class. So, I mean, hell, I mean, Jay, even then, you know, Jason was at Lewis, and now it was only a 2A school, which is a small, I mean, they dominated 2A, but it's still a small, it wasn't like a football competition outside of, you know, the Fort Wayne schools was much. But, you know, I'm just saying, you're right. You never know what you're going to get.
You don't.
And I just think I think what Kelly and the staff do better than previous staffs is really identify guys that they can work with, and they're going to get the meaningful minutes out of a lot of these guys. And it may be a position switch or you know, 2 years on the bench, you know, waiting, but I mean, they're going to get something out of them.
Yeah. Well, I think it just goes to say that you don't know. Same with Fertitta. You know, everybody probably thinks Nico Fertitta was just a ploy to get Alize Jones or because he went to Stanley's high school. You know, hey, you never know. He could be the next great one. He is official now, by the way, as is CJ Sanders. Those guys have both sent their letters in since we've been talking. Speaking to you, so.
And Fertitta could be like, you know, Zimikowski 2.0.
You just don't know. That's the thing.
Zimikowski coming out of high school, you know, they wanted him as an option quarterback at Navy. You know, I mean, he's a short, you know, Fertitta's the same way. You know, he's not very tall, but he's pretty stout and he's tougher than nails. I mean, I kind of like those guys. They got a lot to prove, you know, a lot to show. And even, you know, I have a big problem, not a big problem, but. Just guys that come from well-off families that, you know, football isn't like what's going to make or break them in life. Sometimes they can go extremely south.
Johnny, you know, like Johnny, are you, is this a Johnny Manziel reference here?
You know, not really, but I mean, Manziel, well, just Notre Dame players over that we've gotten over the last few decades, that hunger factor. You know, right. Cause they're coming from, you know, they got other plans. You know, these guys are smart. A lot of these are smart kids. I think Fertitta, even coming from a well-off family, I think he's got a real hunger and desire.
He's got something to prove as an athlete.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like, hey, you got these five-star guys, and don't get me wrong, five-star talent you need, and you need it at a lot of positions, and it is important, right? I mean, who wouldn't want a roster stock full of guys? At the same time, there's tons of Lane Kiffin teams at USC were loaded with five-stars. Nobody wanted to work hard, or they were coached by a bunch of boobs. I think with the coaching and development that the Kelly staff has, you put a hungry guy out there. Hey, maybe he's undersized. Maybe he was underrated. If he's got something to prove, you know, I think that can be as impactful or more impactful than a guy with more talent that doesn't really care.
Yeah, 100%.
So you talked a little bit about the staff and what the staff needs and what they need for next year. Malik Zaire tweeted out here about 15 minutes ago, there's so many changes in the offseason, it sucks. Hashtag next man in. Have to assume he's talking about coaches. You know, I put something out yesterday that said, hey, we're one day away from National Signing Day, which means we're 2 days away from coaches leaving programs after the kids sign. What do you see as far as staff shakeups?
Well, I mean, really, I mean, anything could happen. Obviously, Brady Hoke ain't happening, and that would have been the biggest of anything, quite literally. This still goes along with, something that's been tossed around by, you know, more than a few people about the possibility of Jeff Quinn still being put on the staff now, moving Scott Booker, who coached defensive backs at Kent State, and played defensive back himself, moving him over to defensive backs where Kerry Cooks was at, and then bringing Jeff Quinn in as a tight ends coach. You know, just kind of for Kelly to get him on the staff. There's not a whole lot of spots for Quinn. He's an offensive line guy, but I think, you know, he could do, you know, you were a head coach, you can coach tight ends. I mean, I'm not saying that's a, you know, if you're an offensive line coach and a head coach, I believe you have somewhat of a capacity to coach tight end.
Sure.
So, I think that would probably be the probable move and the most likely scenario. But what happens, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe they end up getting, you know, LaFleur maybe gone. I mean, who knows what, you know, what other moves are going to be made. I think Notre Dame would have liked the Kerry Cooks news to be after signing day. You know, so who knows what else is going to go on after that.
Did you see Prentice McKinney actually decommitted? Prentice McKinney was committed to Notre Dame, quote-unquote flipped. I mean, everybody speculates he couldn't clear admissions. Flipped to North Carolina. Did you see that he actually signed today with Oklahoma? So Cook's
– I think – I kind of think that was expected. I think once the Cook news dropped, I think that was one of the big things that was brought out about it. Was that, you know, McKinney would probably flip to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's that's it. All right. I mean, other guys.
Well, I was just saying, Zahir put out another tweet here just now. It says, that hurt deep.
Yeah.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, that was from a few days ago. I mean, I think there's no doubt that there's some coaches that are going to be doing, you know, there's a little shakeup. There always is. I mean, they're just after signing day, once everybody's signed, that's when the coaching moves happen. So, you know, whether Hoke comes or not, who knows? Whether Jeff Quinn comes or not, who knows? Cooks is obviously gone, although that hasn't been officially announced by Notre Dame either. So, I guess the point is that Notre Dame's going to move slow, and a Hoke thing isn't going to happen. Especially, sure as hell ain't going to happen on National Signing Day, right?
Right, right. And I would think of the double denial from Hoke pretty much sealed the deal, and then it was rammed home by the Notre Dame administration saying. But it didn't happen. So I don't think if it was still in the air, you would have had both parties 100% denying it, you know, and right off the bat. So I think that's definitely out the window. We're just going to have to – Notre Dame is a constant wait game, so we'll just have to wait.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, WAIT, not WEIGHT. So, all right, well, let's jump off coaches here for a minute and kind of get back to recruits, which is basically what National Signing Day is about. Who are you most excited about? Who do you think is going to be the biggest impact next year? I mean, who specifically do you want to talk about?
I don't know. You know, this is the first year that I have almost laid back on my attention to recruiting, but it's definitely the first year that as far as me writing about it on the site, I really, really, you know, stepped away from it. So and when you do that, you gain a lot of knowledge about these guys, and you're looking at a lot more film and all that. But at the same time, it's an important part of the program, obviously. So I had to pay fairly close attention, just haven't been writing a whole lot about it. I really like Wimbush. I know it's a pretty easy pick, but he is a. He's an unbelievable talent at quarterback. I think he's still raw in a lot of ways. And so when you can get a guy like that, I think that you're really well off for the future. Football wasn't a sport that he's been playing since Pop Warner. One of the kids, where his mom wouldn't let him play until, I want to say it was eighth grade or something like that, finally.
Yeah.
You know, so there's still some rawness to his game, and when he plays that, when you get a guy that plays that well, but still has the ceiling still so much higher, I think you got a good one. And I think with Wimbush, I think it's exactly what we're getting there. I mean, there's a lot of guys in this squad I like a lot. I mean, I really love Alize Jones. For all the great tight ends that we've had throughout the years, I think he might be. He has a chance to be the best because I think. Just the pure athleticism that he possesses as a wide receiver and his determination to be a true tight end as well, I think he's really going to shine. I mean, I think he could end up being the best tight end we've ever had. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement on signing day, but
yeah,
potential.
Well,
he's
interesting because of his body type and his athleticism. You know, I did a little bit of stuff on TNNDN show with Steve Herring, your boy Man Cave QB. I did a little thing with him last night, and I said what's interesting about Alize Jones is, after Koyak leaving and Eifert and Nicholas and all those guys, so you got Lua Tua, who's like the big body, really more of an H-back. I mean, not that he can't catch, but you imagine him just wrecking fools blocking, right? And then you got Durham Smythe, who's really more of that vertical guy, those guys can be used almost like in sets by themselves, right? Smythe, you're a split out. You're a tall receiver. You're a tall receiver. Luatua, you're a banger. You know, Alize Jones is really, I think, kind of falls right in between the two of them. And I don't know, Nick Wisher, I guess, is still on, you know, a tight end too. I don't know a ton about him. But what I see from Alize Jones is really he falls right in between those two. So you had Nicholas, again, who was maybe a little bit more of a receiver than Luatua, but the similar big body type. You know, Eifert and Smythe and maybe Koyak, while they all can block, they're just a little bit leaner and lengthier and more of a vertical guy. Jones really does feel like he could do all, like you could keep him in and run him as in a power set or a five wide. He could be as versatile in either one. That's what's most interesting to me about him.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And on the defensive side, you know, I think there's quite a few interesting guys. My favorite might just be Sean Crawford. I mean, he's the best player in the state of Ohio. And the kid has the, you know, the chance to be one of the better corners that we've seen coming through. And lately, I think we've gotten some really good corners. I mean, you think about Russell and Cole Luke. I mean, those are really top-end guys, and I think we're going to be filling in the gap there with another good one. And that's something that Notre Dame hasn't been able to do consistently as recruit at corner. And so, that in itself is exciting. I think a guy like Asmar Bilal there was a video online the other day showing a hit he had. I mean, the guy is just, he's strong, he can just flat out hit. And, it's kind of funny in a way. Notre Dame, USC are going to end up probably with the number one, number two linebacking classes in the country. With us getting Bilal, Tony, and Braha, and you think that we were, really in the mix. I can't think of his name right now. He ended up going to Ohio State.
They were in for Porter Gusson too. I mean,
And they were in for Gusson. So I mean, linebacker recruiting has been pretty solid, and the three that they're bringing in. All have different skill sets, and I think that's important there. It's not like one's going to be competing for the other for a job. So I think, that's exciting in itself. I think along the defensive line, you snatched up bodies and projects. And there's one thing Notre Dame did really poorly in recruiting during the Weiss, the Weiss years, who I think, still doesn't get enough credit for proving that Notre Dame could recruit elite players anymore. I mean, I really think that he proved that you still could do it. But they were horrible along the defensive line. You would go after top targets, wouldn't get them, and then you end up with, nothing. At least Brian Kelly has enough sense. If these guys aren't coming, let's face it, defensive line is a hard position to recruit, high four-star, five-star guys in Notre Dame. It just is. And for him to at least to fill up with these big bodies, these projects, a guy like Jerron Jones, who played lights out last year, it wasn't like he was an elite recruit coming out of high school. For him to fill up with these big bodies and make them, projects, in a way, and to work them through the program, I think we're starting to see the fruits of those recruiting efforts. The developmental work, starting next year, I think you're really going to start to see it. There's going to be a lot of depth, young, raw depth that's only going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, really, for me, I guess the only thing that I think right now that Notre Dame is blatantly lacking, and for all the people banging on safety or running back, we're fine at those. People that were harping on linebacker depth when Joe Schmidt went down, we're pretty well set there. An elite, really elite edge rusher is the gaping hole that I see on the roster right now. Maybe Trumbetti's that guy. Maybe Ishak coming back could be that guy. But we really didn't get any edge defensive end and I'm not saying we need somebody like Aaron Lynch, but even anybody that's remotely close to that mold. Do you see it the same way, or do you see someone on the roster that can be that?
No, I feel that way too. In fact, it's kind of depressing in a way, because you get kind of hyped up early in the recruiting cycle, because a lot of the top, elite guys that are, the edge rushers, a lot of them showed interest in Notre Dame, and there's quite a few that took some unofficial visits. So on their own dime, coming up to check out ND. A lot of them had good things to say about ND. Even Byron Coward, who just committed to Auburn today, the number one player in the country, even he had Notre Dame high on his list early, and really like Notre Dame. So, I mean, you get these little nuggets early in the process, and as it goes on, they start falling off, one by one.
Let me ask you this. How much of that would you pin on Elston as a D-line coach / recruiter?
You got to think, too. I mean, it was, is Florida Elston's territory? It's Alford's territory, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Florida, South Florida would be.
So your position coach ties in. I mean, they got their area recruiters for specific areas of the country, and then they'll tie in the position coach, with that guy. So, I mean, I'm not going to blame the guys on that. And this is just, honestly, this is just a pattern that exists for Notre Dame and defensive recruits like that. It's just, it's there. There's no, the pattern is funny because there's no way to tell. I mean, you have a year like 2011 where you get Lynch, Tuitt, Eshak, and that was like, crazy amazing. Even a couple of years ago when you get like a guy like Vanderdoes, we were 3 5 stars, on the defensive side of the ball, it's unheard of. For Notre Dame, I mean, honestly, throughout the last decade, it's just not one of those, it's just not that side of the ball, especially defensive line, is not a position that they recruit real heavy on the top end of the recruiting scale. So, I mean, there's no real blame. I think we'll go around. I think they can only do what they can do. I mean, I would say that's probably the hardest position to recruit to Notre Dame.
Yeah. It just seems like...
But, I mean, at the same time, you ask about next year and edge rushers, I think they have some guys in place. I think if you can move Jalen Smith back outside, I think you're going to... You got an edge rusher right there.
Yeah. Well, it almost seemed like
natural born edge rusher.
Well, and Shembo,
Shembo
really, when he came up from the outside linebacker, Shembo really did kind of fill that niche from the linebacker spot as well.
Right. And the scheme's the scheme's a lot different now than it was when Shembo was here. But I think you're right about a guy like Trembetti. I think his, the cliche for the white defensive lineman, high motor, but I mean, it is true. The guy just busts his ass, every play. So, he's going to get in on some plays. I think, Eshak Williams, it's obviously now or never, he's getting his last final chance and, he's going to play better. He played a lot, on his feet. Now he's going to put his hand on the ground, I think, and just really, attack. I think that's a much better situation for him as a player to make plays, with his hand on the ground than it is for him to be out wide on his, on 2 feet. I just see him playing more naturally doing that.
Yeah. All right, just an update here. Everybody that's a commit at this point has signed their national letter of intent, except for Alize Jones. He's the only person that's not in. Everybody else so far is in. A couple of question marks still flying around.
So what's up with Alize Jones? For two to go to the same high school, what's going on?
Yeah,
there?
I don't know. I mean, I don't have any reason to believe that he wouldn't sign. I just assume that he's a West Coast.
I do. It's National Signing Day. Yeah,
well, only because UCLA was the team that was in the mix. But they did sign Chris.
Well, today they've got Chris Clark today. So.
Yeah, I was going to say they picked up a pretty nice tight end themselves there. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm not worried about it. It's just always funny. Someone's going to freak out.
Well, maybe I should be right now. You never know. So we agree that, or you believe that St. Brown is pretty much a lock. We'll see him. What probability would you assign to Williams?
I'll say 70-30.
Okay.
Maybe a little better than that.
Now, we basically...
His mom wants MD. He had 2 LOIs last night at home, obviously. Yeah, Notre Dame and Miami. Yeah. Mom wants ND. I think when you get this close, you're probably gonna have to be leaning towards mommy and daddy, whatever what they say a little bit. If not, it makes for a great story, obviously. I mean, we've seen this with obviously Vanderbilt's situation. My kid was Michigan State last year. I'd say it's fairly good odds that Dexter Williams ends up sent his letter of intent.
Well, and we were looking at both him and Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, I think they came in maybe even on the same official visit. I think, you know, Notre Dame felt good about Williams. Keyshawn Vaughn, they maybe broke the news to him.
The backstory on that was basically that Williams basically gave us, you know, a silent commit to ND at that point. You know, wanted to announce a national signing day. And when he, you know, when he gave that news to ND, I think that's when they had told Vaughn they didn't have room for him, and Vaughn moved on instantly.
So
he wasn't, you know, so I think that's one of the situations where, you know, wasn't the right move. If this, you know, it's going to be really questioned hard, you know, if he ends up at Miami. But, I mean, it's still the right move. I mean, if you still leave it open and then Vaughn wants to commit, then you only got so much space. And really right now, and this is even knocking off a few guys that won't be coming back for a fifth year, I mean, they're sitting around 88 scholarships. And this is with St. Brown and with one, you know, let's just say, and with Dexter Williams, just, you know, like 88 out of 85. So there's going to be – there's a lot of tightness right there on numbers.
Tightness!
You know, during the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah. So Keyshawn Vaughn then said he was at Louisville or West Virginia were his final two schools. Do you see where he committed?
No.
Illinois. Out of the blue, he picked Illinois today.
You know, I think Loy had him crystal balled last night to Illinois.
Yeah, he probably knew something.
I saw that. Yeah.
Tom does a pretty good job. I mean, I'll tell you what. He seems like he works. Like, just the guy works like an animal. I was at the Bishop Lures and Fort Wayne Wayne game this year. So there's two guys, Austin Mack. He's a receiver from Lures, the same school as Jalen Smith.
The kid from Wayne.
Oh, the dude from Wayne. I'll tell you what, since we talked about edge rushers, if I'm Notre Dame, I go just balls out. The guy that they need is Austin Robertson from Wayne High School. I don't know if he can
I think they got an offer out soon, don't they?
They do. I think right now he's leaning Ohio State. This dude's about 6'5", maybe 2. I mean, I'm thinking for just off the top of my head. I don't know. I'd probably peg him about 6'5", 230. Just looks absolutely jacked. I mean, and the dude, he was playing tight end. He caught a touchdown. He was playing defensive end. He's just wrecking fools left and right. He is a pretty dominant player from what I've seen. I had seen Elston was on a recruiting visit, and he was stopping off in Indianapolis. This was like last week, and he's like, yeah, last stop before I head home to South Bend. I'm like, dude, swing your ass over to the 260 and go say what's up to Austin Robertson. He could be a difference maker. A guy like that, if not him, you know?
Yeah, and there's not a whole lot that come out of Wayne like that anymore.
No,
it used to be, but not anymore.
Yeah, not really. Not really. But he's a special. And I'll go watch him play a couple of times this year coming up. He's a baller. I think he's considered Ohio State lean at this point, though. Dexter Williams' announcement's pretty close. I don't know if we'll still be talking when that happens, but that's pretty close. Then we got Alize Jones floating around out there still. Other than that, I don't know. What else do we need to say, man?
Well, there's not a whole lot. I mean, I think if I want to convey anything, Samson had tweeted out something this morning about asking people for their grades and stuff like that, and I obliged, and gave about a B+. I think that's fair. But at the same time, I kind of questioned myself for such a low grade when really we're sitting at like a borderline top 10 class, which if you really truly think about it, a top 10, top 15 type recruiting class is, you know, pretty fucking awesome. You know, I mean, that's really good. You've got a lot of good players coming into your program if you have a, you know, top 10, top 15 recruiting class. So I kind of think I undersold it a little bit. And I was seeing people give them like C's and stuff like that. I'm like, is there really that big of a difference between the top 5 and the next 10? And I just don't see it. I mean, you have a few other, you know, a few more 5-stars on a team, and it just all depends on your vision of a.
I think the way that people assess recruiting classes is often just stars, but you know, if you've got 8 you know, five-star quarterbacks on your roster, that's not necessarily a position to need. I guess unless you're Ohio State, maybe you need them all. Maybe people underappreciate a little bit of plugging holes and building depth, and I think Notre Dame's done a really nice job of that. They're just, like you said, there may or may not be anybody that just sticks out to you as interior lineman, blow you off your feet, right? Micah Dutredway, big body, 6'5", 280. Is he elite? I don't know. Elijah Taylor out of Mueller, 6'3", 285. You know, gosh, I know I'm missing somebody else. Brandon Tiesum, I don't know how to say his last name, from Park Tudor. Again, Tiesum, 6'5", 290. You know, are these the five-star D linemen? No, they're not. Are these people that everybody in their brother would send a duffel bag of $150,000 over to get them to come to Auburn? Maybe not. At the same time, you know what? These are, I mean, they're added three big-ass quality interior linemen that when they get to a fifth-year senior, when they become Capron Lewis Moore, old man Cappy's on campus, they're going to be people, they're going to be forces to deal with. I mean, that's what you need. That's why a guy like Tony Springman would have been really nice to have on the roster last year if he didn't get hurt. So, you know, don't look so much maybe at the stars, but you know, are you putting the right, you know, the right depth in and the right people in the right places? Because this team has shown their ability to, or the coaching staff's shown their ability to develop them. I feel good about that.
I do too.
Yeah.
And hey, I'm we should probably end it here. Those are going to be some big news drop. Jay Hayes tweeted out something about at the end of the day, it's business, and you simply have to protect yourself.
Yeah, it seems like
Looks like there's something going down here pretty soon. So
well, a lot of chatter, and it seems like the fact that Malik's talking about it makes you believe it's something. Well, coaching wise, people are on here speculating about Matt LaFleur being gone. Well, it was interesting. I was kind of knocking LaFleur a little bit on our radio show there, the Indy Fan Radio Show. Just like, what does he actually do? Because you don't see him, and it seems like, you know, Golson was regressing or whatever. Did you read the article about Minkah Fitzpatrick and Brandon Wimbush? Did you read the SB Nation long form?
Yeah, I spent the 5 days reading that.
That was the longest thing I've read since college. It was really, really, really well done. I really enjoyed it, and it sounded like, to me, it looked like LaFleur is the one that went to Kelly and said, "Hey, you know what? This is the dude we need." I was actually pretty impressed with the way that they portrayed LaFleur in that article, and I want to maybe take back. I wasn't saying like he doesn't do anything, but my point was like, what exactly does he?
Question: What did he had no idea what he does.
What does that guy exactly do? But to see that, you know, that's a nice score. I hope he doesn't leave, because it seems like Zaire probably has a lot of rapport with him. But you never know. Maybe Jeff Quinn's coming in as a QB coach.
We'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. All right. Well, I'm running out of voice here. We're getting close to 40 minutes. So if you got five more minutes worth of material, have at it. Again, really the last two things on the checklist here would be Dexter Williams and then the expectation that Alize Jones is going to go. And after that, it's
maybe whatever the cryptic tweets coming from the players is all about.
Yeah, and I suspect it's got to be coaching related, right? You would think so.
I would think for sure. I mean, maybe it's the big one. Brian Kelly.
Hey man, I'll tell you what. I certainly hope it's not that. Maybe it's Golson.
I certainly hope not. But it was, honest to God, that Jay Hayes tweet started having me think. Because he was talking about, you know, this is a business and yada yada.
Are there any? Well, I know, but Jay Hayes plays D line, so it would make sense for him to say that would be about Elston, wouldn't it? That almost would reinforce.
Harbaugh have a staff in place in Michigan? I mean, Elston's a Michigan guy.
Yeah, I think he pretty much does. I don't. Okay. You know, I'm not 100% certain on if they got everybody. Well, there's no. There are no NFL jobs that are open still, are there?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't.
You and I are the worst ones to know about that.
I don't know anything about NFL.
All right. Well, we're just going to sit back and watch and wait and drink and
watch and wait.
Get your heads against the wall. Watch and wait.
Yeah, watch and wait and drink. Well, yeah. I think that's all you can do. Yeah, I think if I had to guess anything based on the Jay Hayes thing, I'd say maybe Elston's going to move. I mean, that would make sense with the Hoke rumor, or that maybe they've reached out to Hoke if nothing else. We'll see. We'll find out. All right. That's that. Anybody that's catching this here on Wednesday, National Signing Day, February 4th, we're probably going to do a little Indy Fan Radio this evening. If anybody wants to call in, you're more than welcome to. Subway Domer, if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to. You have been listening to the Subway Domer podcast, one of these fine productions that we try to crank out, I don't know, every 4 months or so. We're doing about quarterly. We're about quarterly.
They come out here and there.
You know how we always end this thing.
I've already been, and this is pretty easy. Because I've already been drinking my gin and juice this morning, so you might as well roll out with some spinach.
Well, all right, fine. If we're going to roll out the gin and juice, give me a final opinion. Everybody calls him Snoop Dogg's son. I feel bad for him. Like, I would not want to be just – can I just be me?
No.
Can I just be me? Brodius, is there any shot of him ending up, or
I think Steve Brown filled that last spot. We had a lot of whiteouts in this class.
Yeah.
So I think Steve Brown filled that last spot, and that was pretty much it. It's kind of a shame, you know, when you consider all the celebrity dads.
Yeah.
That are in here right now. I mean, you might as well throw, you know, Snoop Dogg's son in the mix too, but, unfortunately, in a way, that's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, Snoop
seems like I've watched that show for a little bit. He seems like a real nice kid, and he's really got his head on his shoulders, it seems like. So I don't know about these reports about him getting in trouble and all that. He seems like a pretty mellow character to get into anything. So
I wonder.
Best of luck to him. probably an Arizona State commit, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think his old man would kill him if he didn't go to USC, right? Southern Cal?
I think his feelings there a little bit. Anytime he asked him, he was asked on the list. Notre Dame was always the first school he mentioned.
Yeah.
So I think he really liked Notre Dame a lot and maybe would be leaning here if Notre Dame just had more interest.
A little more room, and they're so deep at receiver anyways.
They were already deep before –
That's probably the least position of worry at this point, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly said he needed 10 or 11 receivers to run his offense, and now we can have a different debate another day about what his offense might end up being in the future, but they certainly have brought those numbers way up. Notre Dame has never been as well-stocked at the wide receiver position as they are right now. I mean, never.
Yeah,
so,
they're deep. All right, rolling down the street, smoking Indo, listening to the Subway Domer podcast. That's how we do it, folks. Enjoy the rest of the signing day. Notre Dame coverage will start here in about an hour. I think Brian Kelly's on XM Radio in a couple hours. Again, Indy Fan Radio will be on tonight on TNND and the new Indy Nation. Otherwise, check out SubwayDomer.com for your signing day rehash. Follow
and your fake
news. Exactly. Follow, get a follow on Twitter. What's your is at the Subway Domer?
Oh yeah.
At the Subway Domer. I am at Irish Tightness. We appreciate you listening. Have a great one. Holla.
We'll talk to you later.
Alright, man. As I mob with the dog pound, feel the breeze. Biatch of jet. Laid back. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Later on that day, my homie Dr. Dre came through with a gang to Tango Ray. And a fat ass Jake of some bubonic chronic that made me choke. Shit, this ain't no joke. I had to back up off of it and sit my cup down. Tango Ray and chronic, yeah, I'm fucked up now. But it ain't no stopping, I'm still popping. Dre got some bitches from the city of Compton to serve me. Not with a cherry on top, cause when I bust my nut, I'm raising the box to cock. Don't get upset, girl, that's just how it goes. I don't love you hoes, I'm out the dough. And I'll be rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on laid back. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back. With my mind on my money and my money.
my mind don't